March 28th, 2024, we're in Masechet Bava Kaman, Daf Kaf Bet Amud Aleph, 12 lines from the top of the Amud. This morning's class is dedicated in loving memory of Yosef ben Rachel by Alan Mala and family. The Gemara, if you recall, is in the midst of a mahloket, a dispute between Resh Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan about how to characterize Esh. Is Isho Mishum Mamono or Isho Mishum Hitzav? Do we imagine and understand the obligation of paying for something that you burnt as an extension of your body, like your arrows, which you shot out, and they're your koach, they're your direct energy and strength which went into it? Or alternatively, do we say it's similar to your animal which damaged? Or what sort of ramifications would that have? Well, here, Tenan says the Gemara, we have a Mishnah. It was the Mishnah we learned on Daf Kaf Aleph Amud Bet. Hakelev shenatal harara v'chule. If a dog took a biscuit which had attached to it a coal, and on the biscuit, of course, it's going to pay 100% for what's called shen birshut hanizak, for the enjoyment of the biscuit. But what about the burning of the field, which happened as a result of the coal, the gahelet, which was connected to that harara? On that, said the Mishnah, you pay half. Well, half, I can understand in one of two ways, either because it's what's known as sirorot, or it's mishune, it's atypical. However, that would all be clear according to the Rabbi Yochanan, that we understand that fire is a direct extension of you. That's isho mishum hitzav. That fire is like it's your arrows. According to the opinion of Resh Lakish, the Gemara will state that's a little bit harder to understand, who maintains, of course, isho mishum mamono, that it's because of your property which is damaging. Let's read it and again review Rashi and then fill in Tosafot and move on. Where it says the Gemara, bishlama lemande amar isho mishum hitzav. This is understood according to the opinion that Rabbi Yochanan maintains, that your fire is as if it's your arrows, your bullet. Okay, now I'll say hitzav dekelev hu. We'll say the gahelet, the coal, is so to speak like the arrows, the extension of the dog. The dog grabbed it, the dog spread it. That's the dog doing, and the dog, of course, is yours. Ela lemande amar isho mishum mamono. However, if we to understand that fire is disconnected from even the one who carried it, well, in such a circumstance, the fire which was lit started from my gahelet, which was a coal, and now we're going to inject like Rashi for a moment, not owned by the person who owns that dog. Again, the gahelet was a stolen good connected to a stolen or an eaten by the dog without permission biscuit. Under such a circumstance, although I'm generally speaking liable for fires that I start and fires that I spread, that's when the fire is mine, if provided that it's being treated as my property. That's how the Gemara, according to Rashi, reads in its question to Resh Lakish, stated clearly again, Lefir Biyohanan, that we understand fire as an extension of yourself. If I pick up someone else's gun and I shoot it out a window, I'm liable, even though it's someone else's gun. However, if my property, excuse me, however, if it's someone else's property which causes the damage and it didn't even belong to me and it's not an extension of me, it's not my actions, it's not my shooting of it, in such a circumstance, according to Resh Lakish, who imagines fire as being property extension, so to speak, then you shouldn't be liable. That's how you read this according to Rashi.
Whose is it then? You just said something about picking up someone else's gun, you're liable. So now this is someone else's gun.
Well, it's not a gun, it's fire. Well, I'm going to be exempt. Who's going to be liable? Nobody over here. It's an unfortunate circumstance. Each of us should, according to Resh Lakish, be able to exempt ourselves.
No way we'll ever be
liable. No, not really, because if it's intentional, you're going to be liable. That's how we quote it from Pnei Yoshua.
It started at someone else's gun the first time.
It's
the
way to do it. Oh, it gets accidentally knocked over.
Mm-hmm.
And the fire starts.
Right, we're going to deal with an almost identical, that's right, you read a little bit ahead, Nathan. We're going to deal with something basically identical in a little bit. What's that?
Like the fire started on my property, perfect and it spread to someone else's property?
Not exactly, because if the fire started on your property and it was your fire, so then we have no question, then you're liable, both according to Resh Lakish and according to Rabbi Yochanan. Over here, the circumstance is the fire was picked up not by you, never took possession of it, and it wasn't your fire, but it burnt someone else's item. In such a circumstance, the Gemara, according to Rashi on Resh Lakish, says, why should you be liable? Listen, we're going to deal with it, but hang tight. Says the Gemara, Hayesh lav mamono de ba'al kelevu. That fire doesn't belong to the owner of the dog, and as a result, according to Resh Lakish, you should be exempt. That's how we explained it, Lefi Rashi. Rashi reads the Gemara cleanly. He's consistent in saying that if it's not your property and the obligation of fire is property, Resh Lakish, you shouldn't be obligated. Tosafot, if you recall, in that long Dibura Matril, what was it? Isho Mishum Mamono. That Tosafot, they disagreed with Rashi. They said even when it's not your property, even according to Resh Lakish, you should be obligated. How do they explain this line in the Gemara? So if you look in the wide lines of Tosafot, about 8 lines down where it says, Dibura matchil lav mamono de ba'al kelev, who writes Tosafot, dehu lo hidliko. The person who owned the dog did not kindle the fire. Ve'al esh shel kalbo, and on the fire of your dog, lo hiyevato Torah. Says Tosafot, the understanding over here is not only is it not yours, you also didn't instigate it. In other words, you have no connection, suggests Tosafot Lefi Resh Lakish, to this fire over here. It's not in your possession. Okay, that's not significant to say that I should be exempt. However, furthermore, I didn't even effectuate the fire. I didn't have any involvement in the fire being started. My dog picked it up and brought it there.
Do you need the biscuit? What if the dog just
in the Mishnah. Why did the Mishnah need to tell us this? Good question. The only reason it's mentioned is because we're really talking about Hilchot Shen over here. That kind of got thrown in. This whole sugya is in a Mishnah, which was Agav. The issues that we're dealing with, the last Mishnah we had was Ketzad, on Daf Yotet, was Ketzad Hashem. We're dealing with
Ketzad.
What's that? Interesting. Well said. Okay. We're going to have a Mishnah in a little bit, as you quoted a moment ago, Nathan, where the fire is kind of started without the biscuit. So yes, in terms of carrying a fire, it's the only way we're going to come at all, well said, everyone, to a circumstance where coal makes a liability, you probably won't have a liability, or at the very least, it'll be demoted immediately to Kerin. It'll be atypical from the beginning. Well, that being the case, that's how Tosafot explains this. It's a tremendous hidush of Tosafot. They go on and they point out that the Gemara needed a derasha with regards to bor, that the pasuk says twice, ish, to tell you that you need ownership over the bor in order to be liable. Over here says Tosafot, there must be some derasha out there that says that if you weren't directly involved with the fire, that you're not liable, because again, it's difficult to square this with the fact that the rabbis elsewhere needed several explanations and proofs for bor that itself, and B, just logically speaking, difficult to square it. But that's how we read the Gemara according to Tosafot. So for Rashi, the question on Resh Lakish is quite simply, it's not your property. For Tosafot, it's not only that it's not your property, it's that you didn't involve yourself in the kindling of that fire. Well, says the Gemara, Resh Lakish, how do you explain the Mishnah? Resh Lakish, you are the opinion of Isho Mishum Mamono. According to your opinion, we shouldn't be liable, the person who owns that dog, for the fire which was spread on the Gadish. Amalecha Resh Lakish, says the Gemara, Resh Lakish would probably answer for you. Hacha b'may askinan, perhaps we need to argue, hacha means here, b'may askinan, what are we dealing with? It's what we call an okimta. The Gemara says for Resh Lakish, I'll add another detail that you didn't see in the Mishnah, and based on that you'll understand. What's that? De adye aduye. Adye aduye, we saw those words a little bit earlier in a masechet, maybe on daf tetzayin. The words adye aduye, later, at the beginning of the perek, by the tarnegolet, by the deli on the tarnegolet. Adye aduye means that it threw it, that it heaved it. So the dog picked up the coal. Not only did it are we already dealing with a funny situation? In placing down that coal, it didn't just place it down, it threw the coal. Why should that make a difference? Hang tight. The al haharara mishalem nezek. What's that? Both. The coal is connected to the biscuit. So initially, for the harara, meaning for the biscuit, mishalem nezek shalem, he'll be obligated 100%. al makom gahelet, for the placement of that coal, mishalem hatzi nezek. Reish Lakish has now told us, for the placement of that coal, you're paying half. How do you explain that?
If you throw it, it doesn't hear it from somewhere else.
What?
If you throw it, the makom you like to add by it, what if it's on the fire, the head is from a different place.
Understood. We're now questioning. According to Reish Lakish, the throwing changed the reality and makes me obligated. Makes me obligated hatsi nezik. Why should I be obligated hatsi nezik? We'll read in Rashi in a moment. Ve'al gadish kula, very nice. Or mishune. Ve'al gadish kula patur. But for the burning of the whole area, you're not liable. So let's review what we now added a new detail to this. Number one, with two details we were familiar with. We've been talking about this until now as eating, paying for the harara, and then paying for everything that it burnt. New detail. You need to break down that second burning thing into two. Number one, the place where it fell. And number two, the place where the fire spread to. Which means to say that now, says the Gemara, according to Reish Lakish, when the Mishnah told me that I'm paying half, what did the Mishnah mean? We thought you're paying half on the whole field that it burnt. No, sir. According to Reish Lakish, you don't pay half for the whole field. You pay whole for the biscuit, shin. You pay for the spot of where you threw down that coal, 50%. Why do I pay for the spot where it went down? Well, that's going to be considered initially regel. It's like trampling the field. I didn't get any benefit. I did ruin it. However, it's not a normal way to do it, throwing coals down. And as a result, it's either what's called mishune, atypical, which means it's going to be bumped down to keren and paying half, or it's serorot, as Judah said. In other words, it's the fact that it's not direct. It's kind of an extension. It's after being flung. Look at Rashi. De adye aduye shezirako, says Rashi. It means that the dog threw it. That's a significant detail for telling us why you're only paying half. Al makom gahelet, makom shenafela gahelet sham, the spot of the coal. Mishalem hatzi nezek. Again, it would seem initially as if it's a regular regel. I should be paying 100%. In other words, the fact that the coal went down and burnt over there, it's a direct extension we see as the animal, but nonetheless, sroroten, it was thrown. As a result, it's like the pebbles case. We know halacha Moshe Mitzinai from Daf Gimal already, paying half. Vehakelev asa'an, and the dog did it, not the human being. That's why you're paying half. Lishna aharina, says Rashi. The other interpretation over here is de mishunehu, it's atypical, continues Rashi. Say it again. Apparently not.
How do they identify
a spider right on top of you?
Maybe you don't. I don't know.
He's
saying the whole field is burnt down. Now, how do you know? Right. In other words, is it what it extended to in the immediate proximity? I don't know the answer to that question. Kule patur, aval gadish kule patur, and for the entire field or collecting area of the hay, you're patur. Why? Di isho mishum mamono, because the fire is considered your property. V'haylav mamono. And this fire, Rashi, Leshitato, is not your property. Usrorot leka lememar, why don't you say the extended area is going to be considered like sirorot, that it was dehami makom gahelet va'elach, daleka esh me'elav, because the only sirorot, the only similar to kicking the pebble situation you have, is when the animal threw the coal initially. It threw the coal, it's like kicking pebbles. Initial spot, you're obligated. Everything that it went further, that's not on me. That just kind of happened. Umishum hache ukma be'adye aduye di anha im haharara ki orche lamatze lemitne hatzinezek amide. Says Rashi, and furthermore, so why do we need to be so creative over here? Why do we need to say that the dog picked it up and threw it? That's an unnecessary detail. Say the dog picked it up and placed it down. And now, on the spot, I'm obligated, and everything that it extended to, I'm not obligated. Why did Gemara have to say that you threw it down? Well, says Rashi, because the Mishnah gave us a funny halacha. What did the Mishnah say? That you're paying how much? No, for the gadish, half. You're paying full damage for the harara, for the biscuit. You're paying half for the gadish. How do you explain that? You have to turn it into even the spot, sirorot, right? So let me review this one more time. We need to plug in the words of the Mishnah, that on the biscuit you're paying whole, easy. You ate the biscuit, the dog ate the biscuit. But it then says in our Mishnah, here on Daf Kaf Aleph Amud Bet, it says that for what it burnt, you're paying half. Why are you paying half? On the spot, 100%. On the extension, 0%. How'd you get to half? That's why Resh Lakish says you threw it. Resh Lakish needs to do the throwing. Rabbi Yochanan might not need to do so. Can we, before reading ahead, figure out how Rabbi Yochanan might interpret this case? According to Rabbi Yochanan, where the fire is a direct extension of you, you can place the fire down and you'll be obligated for the spot. How much?
Full.
There wasn't any throwing. For everything that it extended further, you might say, then that's going to be the half, right? That's what the Gemara is going to do. Go ahead. I don't think falling off is any different than throwing. In other words, the idea is that it didn't directly place it, that your feet did not direct. In other words, in sirorot, it's because it kicked it, or it's because, what if it stepped on it and it flung as a result of the force of stepping on it? I think it's the same thing. The point is, if it's indirect, call it, what's that? The Gemara is considering it sirorot. We considered it at the beginning of the Perek sirorot as well. If you don't want it to be sirorot, happens to be mahsa, then it's mishune. But
the stove is not even the coal, right?
100%.
Okay, so then, if there's really a piece of coal on this biscuit, that means this biscuit is falling somehow. Whether he somehow has to fall, actually, he's not eating it. And there's going to be the
coal. No. Takes it, puts it down, and then eats it off the ground as the biscuit is simmering on the ground. I think that's the most typical case. Okay,
you. Biscuit, okay, so you're saying he puts a biscuit on the floor, now eats the biscuit.
And leaves the coal down. That's how I understand. That's how I understand the typical case.
The coal fell off.
No. Coal's on the bottom. The biscuit's on the top, coal's on the bottom. Places the coal and biscuit down. How'd the coal get here? Oh, I didn't understand. I understand that the coal is a few, it's not an actual coal, it's pieces of coal connected to the bottom. You had this biscuit on top of coals, and it grabbed it off of them.
It's burning? That's not burning. He's holding the coal.
It's simmering underneath. Gentlemen, I can draw this. I could even demonstrate it. Here's my biscuit. Here's my biscuit. And the biscuit was placed directly on big coals. The dog comes along, one second, the dog comes along, grabs the biscuit from the side or from the top, and has it in its mouth. Now, connected to the bottom, it was never fully hardened, or even if it did, it got connected to some of the tops of those coals. They were old coals, and they were kind of embers. There you go. And as a result, they're stuck to the bottom of the biscuit. Now the dog, that's how I imagine this case. Maybe I'm off on this. I can't imagine any different. What, you think there's a coal on top of it, carrying it like that? I don't know. Where's Eli when you need, Morris?
How is he throwing it then?
What? Through the biscuit. And the coals are on the bottom, and it falls, and then he eats from the biscuit. Jeffrey made just as good. He eats the biscuit, and the coal falls off just as well, in my opinion. As says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Yochanan, we don't need to be so creative, because to get to Hatzi Nezek mentioned in the Mishnah, it's a lot easier. Da'anha anuhe al harara, the animal brings it, places it down. He places it down, as I just described. He brings the biscuit in his mouth, places it down. Then, al-harara, which he eats, he's 100%. Al-makom gahelet, on the place where it was placed as well, not half, Alan. Mishalem nezik shalem, 100% as well. Ve'al-hagadish, mishalem hatzi nezik. And then that which it extended to, you'll pay half. Why are you going to pay half on the rest? Sirorot. On the rest of it, you're going to say it's indirect. That's what the Gemara suggests as the way to resolve this Mishnah for Resh Lakish, and in turn for Rabbi Yochanan. Tosafot does point out something very simple over here. Let's review very briefly one more time. The Gemara was questioning Resh Lakish. According to Resh Lakish, where the dog grabbed that biscuit and went with it, we don't understand at all how there should be any liability. I'm putting the coal on the bottom again, any liability for that coal. It didn't belong to me, I should have zero liability. Answers the Gemara that since the dog took that, leave out throwing for a second, and had it in a spot, that's called regel. The spot where it damaged, that's regel. Don't even imagine that as fire. That's like the dog's feet trampled it. That's like the dog went on top of it and rolled and pulled out grass. That spot is called regel, okay? Everything extended from that is ish. Ish, which is not my property, zero liability. Detail over here. Why does the Mishnah now say I'm paying half? Because the animal didn't just place it down. The animal threw it, and in throwing it, that bumps it down to either atypical or sirorot. It means it's half. That's the case for Resh Lakish. That was the real issue. While we're at it, says the Gemara, let me tell you things. Life is much easier for Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan doesn't need to be imaginative. No throwing. He can get to half even without throwing. The animal takes it. Biscuit, 100% eating. No doubt. Placing it in the spot, 100% liability. Regil, no question over there. He didn't throw it. Then anything that it extends further, whereas for Resh Lakish, you're paying zero because it's not your property. For Rabbi Yochanan, those are my arrows. It's my dog's arrows. He spread them out, and as a result, I'm going to pay half because he didn't actually shoot the arrows. He shot the arrows into this place, and then they reverberated. They passed on further. That's how we just explained the Gemara. The fire that spread from Makom Hanaha is Sirorot. That's what the Gemara is making very clear for us. Or Mishune, but Rashi said at this point only Sirorot. Yes. So that's the point that Tosafot picks up on. Says Tosafot, for Rabbi Yochanan, how come you couldn't as well just say... Oh, there you go. That's all right. We're okay. Why couldn't you as well? Let's just continue. Why couldn't you as well? That's I confused cups over here. Why couldn't you as well take the harara, throw it down, be liable for the throwing down half and for the extension half as well? Why couldn't you do that both for Rabbi Yochanan and for Resh Lakish? Okay, I'm sorry. Why couldn't you do that both for Rabbi Yochanan and Resh Lakish? I will speak from the podium now, from the Bima. Thank you. It's all right. Why couldn't we do that for both Rabbi Yochanan and Resh Lakish? Why did we need to distinguish between Resh Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan? According to Rabbi Yochanan as well, you took the harara, you took the biscuit, you threw it down in place, and throwing it down in place, how much are you liable for that, for the throwing down? Half. And for the extension as well. Well, that's your bullets or whatever. You'll be half for that as well. Why didn't the Gemara do that? The Gemara distinguished and gave us the case. Thank you so much. Gave us the case, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that you didn't throw it. You rather placed it down.
That was the force of your Ramon. That was what we did yesterday.
Right. So, well said. You saw it? You thought that? So Tosafot says this would bring us back to Daf Yotet, where Rav Asher was uncertain about this, where you have the force, which is an extension of the force, what we called Koach Koho. Nathan was all over this. From the Mishnah over there, for that, are you liable or not? Very nice. No, we're all good. We don't need more coffee. Yeah. We're great. Dachilak with the coffee for today. That's right. Alan, where's Alan for the new suit? Anyway, what about the tie? I was right in time, guys. Thank you. Anyway, that's what Tosafot writes over here. V'Rabbi Yochanan b'da'anhe anuhe writes Tosafot. Lama tse lememar be'adye aduye ve'al kol hagadish hatzi nezek. That says Tosafot, according to Rabbi Yochanan, we could have as well. You threw it and half for everything. Don't tell me full for the place that it fell. That got funny. The Mishnah only mentioned half. Why didn't the Mishnah just mentioned half? You told me for Rabbi Yochanan, you threw it down, whole for the spot, half for the extension. Make it much more simple. It threw it down, half for everything. That would be the case in our Mishnah. Says Tosafot, di'i koach koho lavki koho dame. Because earlier in our Pirik, we had a question about the force, which is an extension of the force. I flung the pebble, which in turn caused something to break and break something else. Al kol shar hagadish patur. According to one claim, the Gemara had a teku on that. You might be patur. It's for that reason the Gemara doesn't weigh in on that over here. Okay, that being the case, we need to move on. Says the Gemara, we have another question on Resh Lakish. Again, Resh Lakish's position is that when we deal with Ish, we consider it Ish Isho Mishum Mamono, whereas Rabbi Yochanan says it's Isho Mishum Chitzav. It's an extension of your body. It's an extension. It's like you're shooting the bullet. According to Resh Lakish, it's not so. It's your property. Tashema, come and listen to the proof from a Mishnah later in our Masechet and Daf Samech Bet. It's a well-known Mishnah for nothing to do with Masechet Bava Kama. It's a well-known Mishnah because it's the only Mishnah which mentions the holiday of Hanukkah. Says the Mishnah, Gamal Ta'un Pishtan. If you're walking with a camel which has on it a package of flax, of linen, Ve'avar Birshut Rabim, passing through in a public area, Nichnesa Pishtano Letoch HaHanut, its Pishtan, its linen, its flax, enters in, because it's extended on the body of this camel, into a shop, Vidaleku Biner Shel Chenvani, and inside of that shop the shopkeeper has a candle. The flax, the linen, which as you're passing by, stuck into the shop, imagine as an open thing in the front, lights that fire. That's what I said to you earlier, Jeffrey, similar to your case. Vihidlika Tabira, it in turn lights up and sets on fire, aflame, the entire building. What's the liability, says the Mishnah? Ba'al gamal hayav. The obligation is on the owner of the camel. Okay, let's leave that for a moment. No, next lines. No, this is that we didn't mention Hanukkah yet. We're getting to Hanukkah. He's hayav for the whole bira. He's hayav for the whole bira. Why does it contradict our Mishnah? The gadish, you were only going to be patur if it was extended further. So on the makot, Rabbi Yochanan Resh Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan Resh Lakish. That's right. So we didn't say Hatzinezer. You asked me who's obligated. I said the Baal HaGamal is obligated. Jesse says, how much are you obligated? You're probably obligated only half. From Makom HaHezek, from Makom HaEsh, you're going to be 100%. And everything that it extended further to, you're probably only going to be Hayav half. Even according to the Rabbi Yochanan, the extension is not per se. We'll deal with it. Says the Gemara, what's that? Indeed. Well, no, but it's your own linens. You're not paying for your own. I mean, you're not obligated to pay for that. You replace it. What if the shopkeeper leaves his candle outside? Inappropriate. Poshea. Who gave you permission? What were you thinking in leaving a fire out in a public area? Henvani hayav. So the camel comes by, its pishtan gets hold of or gets taken hold of by the fire. The fire then extends to the building. Who's going to be hayav? We're going to turn to the shopkeeper and say, you're hayav. Is the shopkeeper 100% hayav? Yes, he's the poshea over here. I say to him, I had my flax on my camel. I was walking with full permissibility. Nothing was dangerous or wrong. The fact that you had your candle outside was the problem. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, here's the Hanukkah part, Judah, Bener Hanukkah Patur. Rabbi Yehuda says, but if it's Ner Hanukkah, well, he's supposed to have it over there. Therefore, everybody should know the Peshia is not on me. I did it 100%. That's the only mention of Nerot Hanukkah in Mishnah. Gemara has it. That's the only mention in Mishnah.
During the case where it's outside of Shulchan Aruch, does he have to cover the linens on the Gemara?
Very good question. Says Alan, when he left his Nerot Hanukkah outside, he did? When he left his Nerot Hanukkah outside and the Gamal comes by and his Pishtan gets hold of it, so we said that the Baal HaHanut is Hayav, does he have to pay for the linen as well? The simple interpretation is yes. We're not focused on that. Simple interpretation is yes. Why not? You shouldn't. What's that?
The linen's on the
Gamal. On the Gamal. Now, if it's Hanukkah, no.
Right. When you're saying pay, you're saying pay full.
The simple interpretation here has to be you're paying full for the makom where the fire hits and half for the rest of it.
But that's not, it was clear, it said just pays that.
Didn't say full or half. So at this point where...
It reminded them the same thing, that the fire started and then it went to, this words into the mansion, and then it said...
Good.
Pays damages.
We're purposefully not translating that. If you push me at this moment, I say you pay half for the whole thing. But well, You'll push me in due time. Because it's Mishuneh or it's Serorot or something along that line. I don't want to weigh in on that just yet. Okay, says the Gemara, just accepting the liability, not weighing in on how much. Let's just focus for a moment on the first case. The first case is there was no candle outside of the shop, it was inside the shop. The candle being inside the shop, how much, who's obligated to pay in such a circumstance? The owner of the camel. Now, if I understand that the fire, even though it's not my property, it's my liability, I picked up your gun and I shot it like Rabbi Yochanan, of course I'm hayav, no question. However, if I'm dealing with it not being mishum chitza, but rather mamono, the opinion of Resh Lakish, hayesh lav mamona de baal gamalhu, in such a circumstance, I shouldn't be liable, either according to Rashi, because it's not my property, or according to Tosafot, because I didn't kindle that fire. But ultimately speaking, the fact that it's, quote, not mine, the lashon of the Gemara, according to Resh Lakish, I shouldn't be obligated. Amar lecha Resh Lakish, says Resh Lakish, hacha b'may askinan. Perhaps again, he needs to make what's called an okimta. The case is in this Mishnah, later on in our Masechet, b'mesachsechet kol habira kula. What does mesachsechet kol habira kula mean, Rashi? Shehagamal over bifne kol habira u'mesachsecho. The case is the camel, which is holding that pishtan, touches the fire, and then brings it along the extent of the entire Bira mansion building. The whole thing is direct, and directly it's the place of the coal. Exactly. Whereas we were comfortable saying earlier, according to Resh Lakish, the spot where it was placed, you're paying 100% unless you threw it, and over here you're clearly not throwing it. So too over here, provided that I can say the animal walks along with the fire along the whole bira. What's that?
So, what
do you want me to tell you? Says the Gemara, that must be the case according to Resh Lakish. Said clearly again, instead of it just being that my gamal, which is bishtan, my camel with its flax, touches the fire and then the fire extends to the whole building, it's that my animal touches the fire with the pishtan and then touches the whole building. We were comfortable a few moments ago saying that with regards to the placement of the coal, that's called regel. So too over here, it's along the lines of regel. Each one of those placements, it's as if the animal's trampling them. Ihache says the Gemara, very nice, Resh Lakish, we accept. But let's now read the final words. We read them just a moment ago. Ema sefa, what about the next words in the Mishnah? Im hiniach henvani nero mi bahut. Henvani hayav. Remember those words in the extension of the Mishnah? The case was, if the shopkeeper left the candle outside, not on Hanukkah, who's liable for lighting up? It sounds like the whole building. The shopkeeper. And if you're going to tell me that the circumstance, the case must be, Resh Lakish, you told me, that it's walking along the entire extension of the building, am I hayav? Why should the shopkeeper be liable for the whole building? Let me repeat that again. If I tell you that the way it works is that the liability is only, as Resh Lakish told us in the Resha in the first case, that the situation is the animal's walking along the entire extension of the building, that's why there's a full liability. Well, then in this final case where I left my candle outside of my home, I understand that the initial lighting will be on me, but the extended lighting as well, you're going to put on me? That's on you. That's on you, owner of the animal. Your animal continued walking. You're the poshea over here. Tosafot says that I shouldn't be let off the hook entirely as the owner of that shop. I should be paying in conjunction with you. You came by with your camel. I was poshea in leaving the fire outside. The only reason the whole building went up in flames is because your animal walked along the whole building. Don't put that on me. Even though Nathan wants to put that on me, don't put that on me. Put on me partial payment and put on you the rest of the payment. It's not fair. If the case was that it just caught and lit up the building, so maybe then you'll put it on me. The fact that the only reason the fire went up in this whole building is because your camel walked along the whole thing, you should at least have a part in the payment over here. This is not fair. Again, says the Gemara, Ihacher.
That's what I was saying.
Okay. All right. So we're together. If that's the case, says Gemara, Emasefa, read the final words of the Mishnah. If the owner of the shop left his candle outside, and if the case is that the animal is moving with the fire along the whole extension, am I hayav? Why should he be obligated to pay? Now, again, Tosafot says, don't understand that as why should he have to pay at all? Tosafot, why should he have to pay for the whole thing? This bottom Tosafot makes that point very clear in the first three, 4 lines of it. Says the Gemara, I'll tell you what the case must be. Okay, we'll continue with this tomorrow. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen ve'amen.